It's Super Bowl Sunday, everybody. Man, we were partying all weekend here with Night to Shine, and also as my voice continues to go back to its normal self, the things I do for you people to try to get you excited about worship. Students went and were a part of a student leadership conference over the weekend at First Baptist Orlando. So all in all, please support, because you are involved, each one of you, in the ministries of the church here at 434, a church that is on the move. We're excited that you're here today. Hey, how many Chief fans do we have today? Oh, okay, that's two more than last service, okay? How many Eagle fans do we have? All right, we got one very boisterous. Well, men, it really doesn't matter tonight who we vote for, because we're going to assemble in one accord and pass out from eating meat. So we hope that you'll be a part of that. Maybe this will get you to stand up and be recognized as a follower of Christ. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. If that's you this morning, let's stand up and let's worship together. It's good to see all of you here.
The power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. In almighty fortress, you go before us. Nothing can stand
you be seated.
It was a busy, busy weekend around here. We had students at the Lyft Tour on Friday and Saturday at First Orlando. They had a good time. They spent the night. They learned a lot. They heard a lot. And when also on Friday evening here, we had A Night to Shine, an amazing evening, a lot of moving pieces. Anything you want to say about it? It really is an incredible evening. We wanted to give you a glimpse at what happened in a very short snippet of that. I summarized it earlier this morning by saying I think there's sometimes you do an event and you walk away and you just know that Jesus is smiling. And I think we made Jesus smile. And so take a look at the screen.
Inhale green to exhale blue. Press the light to my lips and I let it flow through. Eyes roll back as I leave myself behind. Fill my lungs to get lost in the sky, alright. Inhale red and exhale white. Let go of the yellow, give in to the night. My eyes have grown to the size of the moon. No, I won't be sleeping anytime soon. We can dance.
Up the evening with a young man, one of our guests, who asked for the microphone to say thank you to all of our volunteers and to the people who made this place available. And so I pass on his appreciation to you. Guys, thank you for allowing us the freedom to open up the doors and let heaven drop in this place. It was awesome. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for Jesus and for the price that he paid. Thank you for the opportunity that you give us to love and to serve and to be a part of this world where we get to touch and change it with your love and with your grace and with your mercy. Lord, would you just bless each life that walked in the door this weekend? Would you touch and impact them in such a way that they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they have been the beneficiaries of your love? Lord, remind us that you have called us. You have made us. We are yours. Help us to worship as such. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And would you stand?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? Was lost, but you brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Oh, the sun sets free. Oh, it's free.
Go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the middle of your Bible this morning as we go to the book of Psalms. Psalms 19 is where we're going to be as we begin a new series today. It is called Florida Man. Now, interestingly enough, we just did a series where we finished up and we had done a series on how to be a genius. And so now we go to the other end of the scale and we talk about Florida man and Florida woman, of course. I don't want to leave anybody out. And how is it that we go from one extreme to the other, and what can we learn about our walk with God about that? And so today, we're going to go to Psalm 19, and we're going to go in our introductory study. We're going to call it Floridays. Floridays. Now, who in the room was alive in 1986? Some of you. In 1986, the prophet Jimmy Buffett released a song. It was track six on an album by the same title. It was entitled Floridays. The words of the song are this: I come from where the rivers meet the sea, and that's part of why I'm so wild and fancy free. I was early in the crazy ways. My folks said it's just a phase. They were hoping for better days. Now, for some of you, that is your testimony right there, okay? You were always a little bit crazy, everyone hoped for better. The song goes on. It says, looking to the left, looking to the right, looking to the stars to shed some light, hoping for a breath, hoping for a break, looking for the give without the take. Pale invaders and tan crusaders are worshiping the sun. On the corner of walk and don't walk, somewhere on US 1. I'm back to living Floridays. Blue skies and ultraviolet rays. Looking for better days. Looking for a Florida. See, we live in an amazing place. If you are a Floridian or you are now calling Florida home, you know how amazing Florida is. You may not know that back in the 1800s, some of Florida's earliest settlers were runaway slaves or fugitives. They had a nickname. They were called Fly Up the Creeks. Now, I didn't know that until I started getting ready for the series. That comes from this phrase. According to the Orlando Sentinel, when authorities would question where the runaways might be, they would simply respond, well, I suppose they just flew up the creek. And so they're up the creeks, and that's what they were known by. August in Florida reminds us that God's still in charge. During hurricane season, we're no longer the Sunshine State. We become the Plywood State. And we are a place where we have a lot of folks that come to this place. A lot of folks call this state home. And it's a great place to be. But we have a reputation. And that reputation is known throughout the greater United States. And those aren't so great. It is the Florida man or the Florida woman. Some of you have heard of that. If not, by the end of the series, you'll be very familiar with it. We're going to break open the Florida Man files and share with you some stories. But we start today, and I want to share with you that we're going to be talking today about wisdom a lot. And I want you to know that you can be smart without being wise. But you can't be wise without being smart. And some of the smartest people I know aren't very wise. And yet some of the wisest people I know may not be the smartest, but they've learned how to balance out life and position themselves where God wants them to be, and they are obedient to God, and as a result, they live very wise lives. Which is unusual because our culture seems to be bankrupt when it comes to wisdom. Wisdom is not valued very much in this world that we live in. And so that is best illustrated by Florida Man sometimes. Now, if you don't know what Florida Man is, we decided we would kind of show you and kind of introduce you to this whole idea of Florida Man. We decided we'd do it via video, and so take a look and meet the first Florida Man of the series.
But have we ever stopped to ask the question, why? Something's happening to men in Florida, and it can't just be a coincidence. As a future Pulitzer-winning journalist, it's my responsibility to uncover the truth, to reveal what lies beneath the swamp, to answer the question, what makes a man Florida Man?
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man.
Florida Man. Florida Man.
He's been hit with charges after pictures in this video showing him handling an alligator, which he posted, were seen by law enforcement.
My real name, Jordan Bedford, but I go by the Alligator Man.
Okay. Alligator Man, what's the common factor among all Florida men?
We all different. Well, I'm different from the rest because I do the wrong thing in the right way, if that makes sense.
No.
No? See, you're not from Florida, so you don't understand my language, what I'm talking right now, but I do the wild things. Anything you think of, I probably do it. Catch, like I told
anything?
You. Anything? Anything. I catch gators.
Anything?
Anything. Well, not anything, but basically anything when it comes to the reptile animals, mainly the alligators, though. Well, like here in Florida, you're not allowed to catch an alligator. I mean, I didn't know that before, but I know now. I just had a little fun, put them on a leash and danced with the last one they seen.
What kind of dancing did you do with the alligator?
The alligator man dance. You got to kick your feet, spell alligator in the sand as you're dancing, as you're going around, you spell an alligator and you end it with the stump. The alligator man got a commercial, too.
You have a commercial?
Yeah, he got a commercial. He got a theme song. Everybody seemed like, nah, 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 it's the alligator man.
That is 100% the McDonald's jingle.
Well, it's the alligator man's on now.
I see what you're saying about doing the wrong thing in the right way and how it works.
It worked.
Where do you find alligators in Florida?
If there's a lake, there's a gator. I promise you. That's everywhere. There's gators everywhere.
These chairs are very hard to get up out of.
She gone.
Florida man. Now, most of us watch a video like that and we feel better about ourselves. Yet, all of us in this room have moments, if we're honest, where we haven't made the best choices, we haven't done the right thing, or haven't been as smart as we know that we could be. It just happens. And so today, we're going to kick off our series, and I want to talk to you about how to be wise today. But more importantly than that, over the course of the series, I'm going to give you some rescue points, some ways that if you will put them to practice in your life will prevent you from being a Florida man or a Florida woman. In other words, they are guide rails, if you will, that will keep you out of trouble if you will apply them to your life. And so with that said, let's go to the passage written by King David. Psalm 19, verses 9 to 11, it says, "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And by them your servant is warned, and keeping them there is great reward." David is wrapping up a section of Scripture where he is talking about the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the importance of anchoring to God. And so he gets to this particular portion of what he is writing, and he highlights the reverence for the Lord and the law of the Lord. And he says that they are pure and true, and they are desirable. And so I want to talk to you today about those two things, because those two things give us a great jump-off point for this series. And so, if you're a note taker, the first thing I want to share with you is simply this. Everyone is dumb, but some people abuse the privilege. Everybody's dumb, but some people abuse the privilege. Look at verse 9. "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." And I love this description because he's talking about God. He's talking about the Word of God and who God is, and he's saying he's clean and it's pure. He's referring to the fact that it's untarnished. It's not going to corrode. It's going to last because it's not corruptible. And so when you anchor your life to anything, you want whatever you anchor your life to matter. You want it to count. You want it to work. And so David is making a bold proclamation about who God is and how he operates. And he is filled with that awe and majesty of God. And he's connecting that to us. And he wants us to understand that when we know God and we begin to understand who God is, there is an admiration that comes. There's an awe. There's a reverence. It's not a terrifying fear, but it's a fear of respect, and it's a fear of reverence that happens in our life, and it lasts forever. The Bible makes it clear that God and God alone really is the one who is worthy of that kind of reverence. Well, why? Well, we know what he's done for us. We know how much he cares for us. We know how much he loves us. And I heard Richard say a minute ago that we were going to have a Super Bowl party tonight. We have a couple of fans for each team in the room, which is always an interesting kind of thing, you know, which basically means most of you don't care who wins. And I know tonight I can testify to the fact that we're going to have a men's event here. We're going to bring in food. Nobody cares who wins. We just care how much food there is. And the idea is we're going to eat. And if the game is good, we'll stay longer. If the game's not good, people start drifting out when the food's gone. By the end of the night, it might just be me and Michael sitting here. I don't know. You know, people got to get up early. People got to go places. I got that. If the commercials are funny, we'll laugh. If they're politically correct, we'll boo. You know, we'll make comments. You know, some will watch the halftime show. Some will not. And we'll spend an evening together. And by about 9 o'clock, we all have the meat sweats. We'll walk out of this building. It's going to smell like meat. Maybe by the time you get here next Sunday, that smell might be gone. That's the Super Bowl. That's what it is. If I loved one of the teams in it, I'd be excited. Instead, I'm excited about the barbecue. It's going to be good. But as much as we root for people and teams and we admire things and we put them on pedestals, they let us down. No matter how much you love something, it will tend to disappoint you at some point in your life. My teams always do. You know what I've discovered about my teams? They don't love me back. They never do. Yesterday, my beloved Kentucky Wildcats went to Athens, Georgia, and acted like they'd never seen a basketball in all their life. They got beat. You know, if they loved me, they'd play better. They just did. So they lost. I was disappointed, heartbroken, actually. Wept. Still in mourning today. But here's what I know. As much as I love to watch them play, they don't love me back. And I want you to know that nothing in your life, no one in your life, has ever loved you like Jesus loves you. Why? Because his love is pure and it's clean and it's uncorruptible and it will not tarnish. It does not wear out. It does not go away. And David is saying that it is so important. If you're wise, if you are smart, you will connect to that. And that will change you. It'll change you. I want to break open the Florida Man files. This is actually really stuff that happens. And believe it or not, there is a reason that Florida Man is so well known. There really is an actual, factual reason that Florida Man is known. Okay? And by the time we get to the end of the series, I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't want you to think that Florida has cornered the market on stupidity. Now, we seem to get them from all over the country, and we're collecting them. But there's a reason that Florida Man is so well known. But this comes out of the articles that I brought in today. From February 2016, the headline reads, and I quote, Florida Man Throws Alligator Into Wendy's Drive-Thru Window. This happened in Jupiter, Florida. The article reads, a Florida man apologized for throwing a live alligator through the drive-thru window of a Wendy's restaurant, calling it a stupid prank. The 24-year-old Jupiter resident was seen on surveillance video paying for an order around 1:30 a.m., then tossing a 3.5-foot alligator through the drive-thru window before making a quick getaway. When the cashier realized what the object that had been thrown into the restaurant was, she moved to the edge of the window and hurled herself out onto the ground. The suspect was charged with assault with a deadly weapon, illegal possession of an alligator, and petty theft, because he obviously didn't pay for his food. Standing before the judge, the man said, he was sorry for what he did. He was just being stupid and not thinking. This quote, we're just like outdoors kind of people. And we just, anything we find, we kind of just like catch. And we just saw an alligator and kind of like caught it. Then ideas started popping and one thing led to another. What isn't mentioned in the article, but I think it's pretty obvious, there was alcohol involved. Now, you can imagine sitting around with the boys, your friends, throwing back a few. What's that over there? That's a gator. What should we do with it? Let's catch it. And then after you have the gator, the thought that comes to your head. See, this is why committees aren't bad. Because ideas like this don't happen on their own. This is a result of committee work. The committee work came up with this conclusion. Well, what should we do with this alligator? Let's go to Wendy's. Let's take it to the drive-thru. Won't it be funny if we throw it on the lady at the drive-thru window? Now, see, at this point, there are so many things that could have happened to make this not happen. But these guys obviously worshipped their alcohol-induced ideas. They thought they were brilliant. And so they executed those ideas. Florida man. But all of us worship something. And all of us will worship at times and worship the wrong ideas. And those wrong ideas will put us in a bad place. And God is pretty clear about what we're supposed to do with our lives. We are supposed to worship Him. And when we do, then our lives will be better. And so, as we think about what it takes and what it is to be a person who lives with wisdom, we have to remember the lessons of Florida Man, but also remember that the things that we think are good may not be as good as we think they are. And that's why being connected to the pure, the untarnished, the incorruptible, the solid truth of God allows us to have a wisdom to live life that we don't have any other way. See, when we are close and we're connected to God, we have those moments, and wisdom teaches us that we're not as stuck as we think we are. We discover that happiness and joy are a choice. We discover that the habits that we develop will also develop character. We also find out if you're not willing to learn and change, no one's ever going to help you. And in those moments, we begin to realize that godly wisdom starts with a fear and a reverence to God, which is exactly what David was talking about when he wrote the psalm. Worldly wisdom is not concerned about honoring God. It's concerned about pleasing yourself. Sometimes what you want might be good. Sometimes not so good, like throwing an alligator through the window at Wendy's. So let me give you the Florida Man rescue point number one. Don't be foolish with forever choices. Don't be foolish with forever choices. See, if you look hard enough, you can probably find a counterfeit for most things in the world. I had the opportunity a few times to go to New York City when it was fun to go to New York. And one of the things I love to do in New York, is go to Battery Park. Because in Battery Park, you could buy things from people who were selling things just there in the park. You know, I bought a Rolex one time in New York. I bargained for it. I was in for about $22. You know that Rolex? It quit working by the time I got back to the hotel. Counterfeit. In my car, I have a pair of Oakleys. I love those sunglasses. I've worn them for a long time. Had them a long time. But you know what? I bought two pair of Oakleys in New York and Battery Park, but they weren't really Oakleys. They were Oakies. Oh, the logo looked the same. The lettering looked the same. One pair cost me $10. One cost me $5. And neither one of them made it back to Florida. Because it fell apart. Because they weren't Oakleys. They were counterfeit. See, the counterfeit is Satan's playground. Anything that he can get you to do and convince you that it's the real deal will always rob you of the joy of the life that God has for you. And so don't be foolish with forever choices. Now, let me crack into the Florida Man files again for a minute. This happened in June 2018. The headline reads, Florida man proposes to girlfriend, ties the ring to an alligator. Not your idea of romance, huh? Orlando, a Florida man proposed to his girlfriend from Cleveland on a trip to Gatorland in Orlando with a little help from alligator. You can actually see this on YouTube. The unsuspecting girlfriend was brought on stage blindfolded to participate in an up-close encounter during the Orlando show. After her blindfold was removed, she saw the aspiring groom on one knee with an engagement ring tied to a baby gator. The woman, who reportedly loves alligators, embraced the baby gator in her arms while nodding yes. She said, "I was secretly more excited to hold the baby alligator than to get the ring." He should have just bought her a gator. As the show concluded and continued, an enormous spider was placed on her hand, and then on top of her new ring, the bride-to-be was not afraid at all, calling it the greatest surprise of her life. 2 years later, their marriage ended. He should have bought her the gator. Neither here nor there. When you're making forever choices, don't be foolish. And understand that each choice that we make sets up the next choice that we make. And it sets the next choice up that we make. And so if you're going to not be the stereotypical Florida man, Florida woman, learn to be wise and learn to make good choices. It's there for us to grab. His wisdom is not something he's trying to hide from us. We have to ask ourselves, do we really want it? The second thing I want you to see is I want you to strive to be smarter than your smartphone. Strive to be smarter than your smartphone. How many in the room have a smartphone, by the way? Okay. Now remember, you're in church. How many of you in this room have a smartphone that's smarter than you are? Yeah, you have a phone and you're looking at it sometimes. You're like, I know it's supposed to do this. I just don't know how to make it work. You ever get frustrated with your phone because it won't do what you know it's supposed to do? You're trying to use an app on the phone, and the app just doesn't seem to work quite right. And you have to look, and you have to look for help. And so what do? You go find a 12-year-old somewhere who knows how to work the phone. Because you don't know what you're doing, right? Because that smartphone has more technology rolled into it. I don't care what brand you're using, the Samsung, Apple, Okies, whatever you're using has more computing power than was in the lunar landing module that landed on the moon with Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. It's okay to admit that your smartphone is smarter than you are. It happens. You see, but we've become dependent on our smartphone, right? Now, my mom's here. I wasn't going to tell this story. I told it 9. She has a computer. She can go back and watch it. Might as well tell it again. But I was thinking about this week, getting ready. And, you know, I think the worst day of my life was the day I got a cell phone. Now, I spoke to the teenagers a lot in the 9 o'clock crowd this morning because most teenagers, young adults, they think the greatest day of their life is when they get a cell phone. And now, kids, I want you to hear me. It's the worst day of your life. Here's why. Because I was 16 years old. I could walk out of the driveway of my house in College Park. I could get in my car, and I could drive away from the house, and my mom, who I love dearly, could not find me. She didn't know where I was. Now, if she wanted to track me down, she could walk to the kitchen and pick the phone up on the wall that's connected with a cord and dial the numbers of all of my friends and say, "Have you seen Jeffrey? I know he's perfect, but where is he?" She could have said that. And they always said, "We haven't seen Jeff, we haven't seen Jeff, we haven't seen..." And my mom would not see me till I came back home. And here's the deal, teenagers. If your parents give you a phone, here's what I know. You're not paying the bills. They are. And if they give you a phone and you don't answer it, when you get back to the house, they're going to take your phone. And they're going to rain fire down from heaven on your head. And they're going to ban you to the abyss of your bedroom forevermore. Because the minute that you get a phone, and your parents hand you that phone, you are forever tethered to answering that phone when your mom and dad are looking for you. I got news for you. If my mom would have been able to find me, and mom, don't listen. If my mom would have been able to find me, I would not be the man I am today. Because in those years when she couldn't find me and I had a car, I was out learning how to be a man and learning how to do manly things. That's right. Which says a whole lot about this next generation that's coming along. Hell, how? But it's an education. It's learned. You have to go places. You have to come back home. You have to take responsibility. All of that goes to pot if you have a phone because you're connected. I said this at 9 o'clock too, and some people actually spoke out loud because they said, I knew he must do that. Because some of you have called me, and I have not called you back because you did not leave me a message. And if you do not leave me a message, I do not owe you a call back. If it's not important enough to leave a message, it ain't important enough for me to call you back. And here's the other thing I'm going to go ahead and confess because I'm in church and I'm afraid that God fire would fall on me if I don't tell you. Sometimes I leave my phone in my truck on purpose. You know why? Because I don't want to hear from you. Now you say, gosh, that's wrong. We can't live that way. We did 15 years ago. And most of you are in the room. Somehow you survived without a cell phone. Kids, I know you think the greatest day of your life is when you get a cell phone. I'm here to tell you it's the worst day of your life. Because once you're tethered to it, you'll never get away from it. Also, parents, let me say this to you. If your kid's got a cell phone and they're using it to FaceTime somebody else and having these video chats, the trend is you take that phone into the bedroom with you. And you continue to have face chat. Some teenagers will sleep with their phones connected to somebody else's phone, and they will face chat. They'll whatever they are. They're going to use the Facebook and the TalkTick. But basically, you're inviting that person to be in your bedroom with you. Now, here's the other thing I know. My mom would not allow that to happen. Okay. And so what happens is we develop unhealthy habits if you're not careful. But we've allowed our smartphones to become smarter than we are, and believe it or not, the Bible talks about that. Who knew? Verse 9b. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They're more precious than gold and more pure than gold. They're sweeter than honey. The honey from the honeycomb. David is saying here, look, there are some wise ways to live. You can figure out how to live, and God's going to give you what you need to live. And the ways of God, the decrees of God, are more valuable than gold, and they are sweeter than honey. And just to emphasize the point, if you look, he kind of doubles up there. He says, they're more valuable than gold. Yeah, more valuable than gold. Because he wants to make sure that you get it right. So where do you go to get wisdom and direction? See, most people default to, I'll just talk to my friends. Well, back to smartphones. Social media should never decide what's right and wrong for you. And here's the deal. If you go to friends, by nature, people, they might be Florida men and Florida women. I mean, case in point, if you are ever on trial for something, and now some of you, this is going to be practical. If you're ever facing a jury trial, you realize, of course, that you have put your hands into the fate of 12 people who weren't smart enough to get out of jury duty. Think about what you're doing. Where do you go? Who do you trust? The place that you have to go is God. And when you go to God, you can anchor to his word. Let me give you the Florida man rescue number 2. And it's simply this. Don't be silly with serious things. Don't be silly with serious things. I love to laugh. I love to joke. I love to poke fun at people. I like it when people rip on me. I'd rather watch comedy than a drama any day of the week. I think laughter is going to be the sound that resonates through the walls of heaven. If you don't like to laugh, you need to get saved. Ooh. Kind of got quiet, didn't it? Because some of you aren't funny enough. Here's why. Because when you get to heaven, there is no sorrow, which means there's going to be joy. And you know what the sound of joy is, don't you? It's laughter. So if you don't like to laugh, word of advice, get over yourself and learn to laugh. But don't be silly with serious things. John 17:17 says this. Jesus is being quoted here. He says, "Sanctify them by the truth. In your word is truth." See, the one thing that you can't be silly about is the truth. And what I mean by that is you have to learn to anchor your life to the truth, anchor your life to the word of God, anchor your life to the thing that matters, that will hold you and give you the direction for your life that you need. See, if you want to live by wisdom, that's good. Be wise. Where do you get that wisdom? From the word of God. And so wisdom and direction go together. And you have to have both. And without it, you're in trouble. I break open the Florida Man files to read you this article from October 2016. The headline reads, "Florida Man Leaving Strip Club Falls Out of Truck and Runs Himself Over." This happened in Orlando. 28-year-old Florida man was allegedly leaving a strip club when he fell out of his truck and ran over his own legs, according to a media report. According to the police, the incident happened around 2:15 a.m. Kids, I know that a few minutes ago you thought I was lecturing you about cell phones. Let me stop and interject something else. Key phrase in this article, this happened at 2:15 a.m. If you're not home and in bed with your eyes shut by 11:15 a.m., the demons come out. Nothing good is going to happen to you after 11:15 at night. So when your parents give you a curfew and say, "Drag your butt home," they're doing that so you won't run over your own legs. They're doing that so you're smart. They're doing that so you'll stay out of trouble, because after 11:15, when you get to 11:16, anything and everything can happen, and it can be bad. Bad. I've tried to imagine this in my mind. I'm not sure I could run over my own legs. But this guy did. According to the report, the driverless truck continued down the highway until it crashed into a house that stopped it. The Florida Highway Patrol says the suspect left his ID in the strip club before leaving with a group of friends. Again, notice the committee work. See, to be able to run over your own self is a skill, but it's only enhanced with a group of friends. And this group of friends watched this person run over themselves, by the way. And that's what friends are for. There are times that your own dumb choices are so bad you can't get out of your own way. And you may not run over your own self, which vehicle. But God's word is true. And if God's word is true, why are there so many people in the culture today that don't want to have anything to do with it? You know why. Because if they were serious about God, it would force them to perhaps change and contradict their lifestyle. God's word is golden. David was massively wealthy. And we know him as a man after God's own heart. Interestingly enough, his son Solomon was even more wealthy than David. But we don't remember Solomon for a lot of things like we do his father. We don't think of him as a man after God's own heart. We remember Solomon because he had too many wives. He was incredibly wise, but he couldn't get his own life in order most of the time. And so David, as he's writing, is saying, God's word is golden. His law is golden. It is so pure, and it's so, so, so valuable. And it begs us to ask the question, what do we want more, God or gold? Now, it's a good question. Can you have both? Yeah. But the issue is, what do you desire more? See, because when you anchor to God's word and you find direction for your life, it makes all the difference. Did you know that loneliness is not the absence of affection, it's really the absence of direction? People are lonely, aren't suffering from loneliness because they're not loved. People are lonely, because they don't know what they're supposed to do. And that lack of direction will eat at them, and then the emotion kicks in, and the emotion will tell them they're lonely and that no one loves them, which is a lie. We come back to the counterfeit. That's Satan's playground. Because when Satan can convince somebody that they're lonely and they're not loved, then they never become the person that God wants them to be, but a person who has direction isn't lonely. Because they are busy moving through life with God in sync with who he has called them to be. The cure for loneliness is not affection. The cure for loneliness is direction. And direction can only be found in God. And so a world of lonely people are desperately in need of God. And they're desperately in need of what God and God alone can give. And so when we think about our lives, David makes it clear that the Word of God is priceless and valuable like gold, and it's sweeter than honey, and it will change everything. The last Florida Man file we want to crack open for you this morning is actually a video. It was a video. It's 5 seconds long, so we're going to show it for you twice. Let me set it up for you so you know exactly what you're looking at, because it does defy description. There's an alligator attacking a man. That's horrifying. Except that the man is holding a frying pan. And he hits the gator in the head with the frying pan. The gator backs off momentarily and takes a second run at the man. And the man hits him with the frying pan again. All this happens in 5 seconds.
How we handle gators in Florida. How we handle gators in Florida.
Now, when you see that, if you're like I am, it just starts things popping in my head. For one, why is he that close to a gator anyway? Two, how do you let that gator get so close to him? Three, where's he at? Four, what's he doing with a frying pan in his hand? Why does he think that the frying pan is the best way to fight off the gator? And why won't the guy running the camera help him? Now, there's a lot that goes on in 5 seconds. Look at it one more time.
How we handle gators in Florida.
See, only Florida man would tackle a gator with a frying pan. Here's how David wraps up verse 11. He says this: by them your servant is warned, and keeping them is great reward. See, David is saying, God's word, there's wisdom and direction there. And consider this a warning. If you don't live this way, you're in trouble. If you do live this way, there's great reward. Because God has a direction for your life. But to get there, you have to trust in his word. You have to decide. You make a choice. I want to grow in God. You got to be willing to ask for direction. You got to obey when you get that direction. I remember a conversation I had a while back with someone who was talking about what God wanted for their life. And I asked the question, well, will you do it God's way? The person's answer surprised me. Not because it's an unusual answer, but simply because they voiced it. Most people don't voice it. They looked back at me and without batting an eye said, well, I'd like to know what God's way is first. So I said, so you're willing to do it God's way if you like God's way better than what you want to do yourself? And they said, right. And that's a stumbling point for most of us, isn't it? Oh, we're all in for God until he tells us something we don't want to hear. We're excited to do what God wants us to do until it doesn't line up with our plans. And David is reminding us that wisdom comes from God and direction comes from God, and what you want and what you think doesn't matter unless you line it up with that. And that's our starting point. If you want to avoid being a Florida man and Florida woman, that can only happen in your life when you're willing to take your wisdom from a godly source, which is God himself and his word, and find the direction for your life in his word. Let's pray together. God, we recognize that our lives are lived out in real time, in real places. And we make decisions in those real places, in real time. Sometimes we choose poorly. Sometimes we choose better. But the passage reminds us that the choices we make in the future start with the choice that we make today. To live the life that we were created to live, to be who we were created to be, can only come when we decide that we're going to live our lives trusting you and your direction and applying your wisdom into the world that we find ourselves in. When we do that, everything changes. Lord, for anyone in this room who has never made the decision to believe and trust and follow you, then that's where it has to begin. That's the starting point. I pray that before they would leave this place this morning, they would share with us by filling out a worship flyer and dropping it in a giving kiosk that says, I want to accept Jesus as Savior. To watching online, they can stop right now and they can send us an email. Because until we do that, then the rest of this will never work. But what we do discover is that you have a plan for us that is so much better than anything we could create for ourselves. And when we will follow that plan, the sky is the limit, and our potential is unlimited. Help us to choose you this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand? Times I failed, but your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, well, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. Thank you.
all else, my purpose remains the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord.
Let justice
and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Remains the art of losing myself in bringing you praise. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart and my soul, I give you control. Justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out will everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all pain. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside out, Lord, my soul cries out. My heart, my soul, in my heart and my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out will everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades. Never ends.
We want you guys to have a great week, and we're glad that you started it here. As you leave this place today, remember, men, tonight we have a Super Bowl party, kickoffs at 6:30. Get the food in here before it starts, and we'll get started to eat and be ready to go. Also, this week is the second week of our family week breaks. Is that correct?
Yes.
So we do not meet this coming Wednesday evening, but then we start our family week ministries back up again the following Wednesday. Adults, I would simply say to you, your imagination cannot grasp how we will unpack the Florida Man files on Wednesday evening. Smaller group, a little bit more unedited. You will not want to miss that. mark your calendars, 2 weeks. I won't even tell you the title yet. Next, come and join us for that. Let me give you a blessing as we are dismissed. You're going to be dumb. Don't abuse the privilege. Strive to be smarter than your cell phone. Don't be a Florida man and a Florida woman. Be the person God created you to be. Get out of here. Bye-bye.